Hey everybody, you're tuned in to 91.8 The Fan, and this is Kana's Corner. And sitting in Kana's Corner right now is the wondrous Tiffany Grant. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm glad to finally be here.
We found out that there were some computer problems in the background.
Yeah, I just was having issues right at the very moment where I needed the call to connect. The whole thing just froze up and caused me to yell at it for like 20 minutes while I was trying to restart it. So
that's understandable.
It was a little unnerving, but I got it all going on now. So,
well, we appreciate you being here because it is quite the honor since you have so many talents. You've been in the industry for so long, and that's you have so many experience.
Yes, a lot for a long time.
And now, when you started way back when, how did you initially get into voice acting?
Well, my background was originally as a theater actor, like most actors. And there was a brand new company in Houston, which is where I am talking to you from right now, and a little company called AD Vision, and they had released a few shows that were subtitled, and they wanted to make the big leap and start releasing things dubbed into English so they could kind of hit a broader market. And the company was very, very small. I think, you know, it was about six people. And they needed to try to find some actors. So they said to everyone they knew, if you know any actors, tell them about this audition that we're having. And that is what happened. Someone who knew about that audition called me and said, hey, I remembered that you're an actor. And these people are going to dub some Japanese cartoon or something like that. And anyway, here's the information. And so I called and I went down and I had that audition. It was February 12th, 1994. And that was the day that I auditioned. And I guess the rest is history.
Wow, you remember the date. So that must have been a real big change.
I'm obsessive about keeping all kinds of documents and things. So I actually still have like my little my audition piece that I got when I was there, my paperwork from that first day when I went and auditioned. And since I ended up marrying the director about 9 years later, we suddenly got curious about what the day was. So I went back and I dug through all that stuff. And that's how I found out it was February. I hadn't really remembered it for all that time. But after Matt and I got engaged, I said, hey, you know, I've got that around here somewhere. And so that is why I know, because it's also the day that I met my husband.
That's adorable.
Yeah. I didn't think he liked me very much at the time, though. He's kind of got this grumpy face. If you ever see him at conventions, he just looks like that all the time.
but still, though, it's neat because that's sort of the otaku couple, sort of geeky.
Yeah. Yeah, it really kind of is. We met because of anime and got married, and we have our whole otaku lifestyle.
Have you wrangled into any cosplaying or anything like that?
I used to be, that was kind of like my trademark thing years ago when I first started doing conventions, is I would always be cosplaying. The first thing was the red Asuka plug suit. I did that, and then some that was made for me by some fans, and then some other people made me a costume for another character that I did, Chocolate Misu from Sorcerer Hunters, and so I started wearing that one. And then I eventually bought the Asuka schoolgirl Fuku, and so by this time, like, I was taking a whole extra suitcase to conventions, and it was just an awful lot to carry around, so I don't really do that anymore, but it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun when I was doing it.
Oh, yeah, I'm in that stage where last year when we went to Anime Expo 09, it was hilarious because the guys would have, like, one or two suitcases, and I had a separate box for, like, three wigs and a wig head and all this other stuff. And it's so taxing to get up in the morning because I'm the one who gets up, like, an hour earlier just to put on the wigs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was very time-consuming. I did it. I didn't use a wig when I was doing Asuka. I used this kind of reddish, this orangish hair paint stuff that I quickly realized the first time I used it that I was inhaling. So then I had to do, you know, get a mask and all of this gear just to spray my head, and it was kind of a nightmare.
Oh, you mean like the Halloween spray paint stuff?
Yeah, it's just hair paint. I mean, I think I bought it in Walgreens. It's like a hairspray kind of stuff that you use to color your hair. I've actually never dyed my hair ever, like to put actual hair coloring on it to dye it. I've never done that. So I didn't do that for Oscar either. It was just hairspray,
Yeah, I
and
could
it was
never do that
toxic.
either. I'd have to do
Oh,
the
really?
wigs.
Yeah, it was a very, very bright, vibrant red, so it looked very anime-esque. But it's good not to breathe that. You really don't want to have that in your lungs.
Obviously you do have a passion for that character. Would you say Asuka is sort of your flagship character that you voiced?
That's an excellent way of putting it. Yeah, I would say so. I mean, a lot of people assume that she's my favorite, and she's definitely one of my favorites for sure. But I mean, it's certainly the most well-known character that I've done, the most prominent. And I know that usually when I get an invitation someplace, like to a convention in Ireland or in Australia or someplace like that, that's the only thing they really care about is like you were Asuka and you did some other stuff. I mean, really, really, actually, I've done a lot of other stuff, but that's the only thing they usually care about.
Oh yeah, your resume is huge. That's why I didn't want to ask what is your favorite, because I don't
Yeah.
think it'd be possible to pick.
It's really not. That's I'm gonna probably use that. I'll give you credit for it, Jackie, but yeah, the flagship, I like that. That's an awesome way of putting it.
Oh, thank you. And but no, it's really interesting to me. You were pretty much in, I want to say almost every ADV film I've ever seen come out.
Yeah, well, for a long time I was pretty much in every one, and then as the industry started growing and there were just more and more directors, more and more productions going on at one time, that would virtually be impossible, and that's okay. I'm fine. I've done plenty of stuff, and of course worked for the last 5 years with Funimation as well. So I've been very lucky to have done a pretty good body of work, a lot of different kinds of shows, all different genres, all different kinds of characters, and I've found that to be very satisfying.
Now, you obviously started with ADV, but how does it feel making the jump sort of to Funimation as sort of your home company?
Well, I wouldn't say it's really a home company because I live 278 miles from their studio, which
Ouch.
is far. But I have been fortunate to work with them. Yeah, it's right at 5 years now. And how that happened was just actually from going to conventions and meeting people at conventions who were working up there. And Mike McFarland was the first person who hired me to come work up there on 2 episodes of Case Closed. And then that was followed by a lot of other things, like most notably Fullmetal Alchemist. And honestly, after Evangelion, I would say the second biggest thing that people approach me about is usually Fullmetal Alchemist. But I've worked on like 19 or 20 different shows with them up there, One Piece, Line Barrels of Iron. So I've worked on a lot of projects up there. And it's been really fun. It's very far to drive, but I have enjoyed those opportunities as well. That's been really a lucky thing for me.
That sounds really cool. And so you haven't really felt the sort of slowness that anime is certainly currently under.
Oh, good Lord, yes. If I could give you a brief description, and I don't mind telling this to everyone because I've been mentioning it at cons a lot lately. Back in the holy, beloved, blessed year of 2004, imagine clouds parting, angels are singing. 2004 was an awesome, awesome year. And I was working every week in 2004, 2 or 3 times a week, usually. I had just sessions out the wazoo. I was writing scripts all the time. It was fantastic. And after 2004, things started declining sort of slowly until it got to about 2008, 2009, and it just sort of fell off a cliff. And I know for me in 2008, I worked kind of sporadically, but between November of 2008 and April of 2009, I didn't have a single anime voice acting job for
Oh
5 years.
my.
Yeah, that was a long stretch. I think that's probably about my longest stretch ever. I bet in as compared to the beloved 2004 when I recorded, I couldn't even tell you how many times. I think in 2009, I think I recorded about maybe 7 times I was in a recording booth last year. It was not awesome. This year is looking a little better, so I'm hoping things are kind of turning the corner. But yes, there's definitely been quite a precipitous drop off. But I try to just make myself available for whatever comes up.
Well, hopefully we do see you in more things because we would hate for you to go with long stretches on a dry spell.
Yeah, I know. I think at least now it's exciting that when people say, "So have you worked on anything lately?" I can say, "Yes, I have. I am still a working actor. In fact, I have a recording session tomorrow." So it's good to be working again.
Oh, that sounds like fun. And you also do commercial work and do you do any regular animation at all?
I haven't done any really Western style animation, except for a couple of really small projects. Some really, really short things that are like just a couple of minutes long with a local company in Houston, and also like an educational film that I worked on for a local charity. But other than that, not really. I've done a couple of video games, but in Houston, they're really. Isn't that kind of work? Most of that is in LA and some of it's in New York for the Western type animation. So I just don't really have access to that.
Yeah, I hear that video games are more prominent in LA than anywhere else.
Yeah, video games out there are really big. They do quite a few up in Dallas, but they're usually related to one of the shows that they've done up there. So there's been a lot of Dragon Ball, Yu Yu Hakusho, FMA, all of those kind of things. And I just haven't ever been a character that was in one of those games.
Right, I can understand. And I know that living in LA is so expensive and the traffic is terrible.
Yeah, well, it is expensive out there, but I feel, I'm pretty well established in Houston, other than the fact that, I'm married and we have a house here and my husband's company is here, so not really a thing in the foreseeable future for me that I'm going to follow other people like Amanda and Spike out to LA.
Well, no, that's
What's
understandable.
there?
And I'm sure it's actually very nice out there, except during the summer.
Oh, well, actually, oh, the summers are beautiful out there. I have a nice ocean breeze coming in. It's lovely, but I not for me, not for me to live out there, I don't think.
Well, I meant in Texas.
Oh, here. Oh, yeah. I'm a little partial just because I'm from Houston, but yes, it does get very, very hot. Especially though in Dallas, it gets a lot hotter in Dallas than it does in Houston because we're on the Gulf of Mexico.
I
But
feel
yeah,
your pain.
hotter than Hades.
I feel your pain. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, so.
Oh, okay. So it's just very, yes, it is very hot there. Except for the one time I was there because it was in March, and it wasn't hot, but it was so windy that it was almost knocking me over. I'm not a very big person. It was super windy. It was like crazy.
At least you weren't around when we had our like flash flood rains.
No, I don't need to see any of that.
Well, we're going to take a short break here on 91.8 The Fan, but when we come back, we'll talk more with Tiffany, so make sure to stay tuned to your favorite station. Everything you want, nothing you don't.
91.8thefan.com. Have you logged on today?
Who, me? No. No.
iStock's daily news show, video reviews, articles, forums, and an anime directory. Don't get left behind. Log in today. Only on
918thefan.com.
918thefan.com.
All right, 918thefan.com.
Hey everybody, you're tuned in to 91.8 The Fan. You're still tuned in to Kana's Corner, because Kana's Corner is awesome. And I also have an awesome guest here.
Hello, still being awesome.
And no computer troubles this time. But I was initially curious about your conventions coming up, though I do think we have one or two lag problems. I think I might have jinxed it right there. Oh, there we go.
Are you getting me okay now?
Yep, you're okay.
Okay, excellent. Well, one thing I'm pretty good about keeping updated is the convention listing on my website, and it's just listed under the current info section. It's kind of at the bottom of the page. But that's, I always try to add the conventions in whenever I get another one confirmed. So, but my next one that I'm doing is a little tiny convention that everybody's already used this name, but it is ChibiCon, April the 30th in Virginia Beach, and that's at a library, just a one-day con on a Friday. And
sounds
the
kind of relaxing.
Yeah, the interesting, well, I don't know, because it's going to be, like, I guess a solid, like, 9 to 5 where I'm there every minute of it. But the weirdest part of it for me is going to be right after the thing is over, I get on a plane and come home, so I'll be home Friday night, and I will have already finished the convention. That will be a very weird experience for me. The convention is over Friday, so it starts and it's over. And then my next, I don't have anything in May, at least as of yet, and then I'm doing HAMA, H-A-M-A, HAMACon in Huntsville, June 4th through 6th. So those are my next two upcoming things. Then I've got the Minneapolis Anime Con, and that is June 18th through 20th. So those are my next three scheduled appearances, and there could be new ones, because a lot of times I'll get invited to a con and it'll only be, you know, a month or two before the event. But I imagine that I will be doing some more in the United States for the rest of this year. I have one tentatively scheduled for September, but that one hasn't been finalized yet, so I don't want to, that one's not listed on my website. But August 7th, I'm doing a convention in Sydney. I guess people could be listening to this anywhere in the world, right?
Yes,
so I'm gonna
true.
Be at, yes, I'm going to be at Smash, which is Sydney Manga and Anime Show, Smash, and it's just a one-day event, but I'm going to be there with my good friend Yuko Miyamura, who is the Japanese Asuka. And so we'll be having an awesome time down under, and I hope to see my friends from Oz down there.
Ooh, been, that sounds like really fun.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. It's been almost 5 years since the last time I was in Australia, so I'm definitely ready to go back.
And you get to go out of the country. That is so amazing.
Yeah, I've gotten to do a few conventions outside the United States. I've done several different Canadian provinces, and as well as Northern Ireland and Australia and New Zealand. So always looking for other countries to add to my list.
Now, I am pretty impressed at the sheer volumes of conventions you have attended. Is there something that keeps pulling you back?
Oh, well, I guess as long as I have a good time, I'll keep going. And I do. I mean, It can be tiring sometimes going to a lot of conventions, but ultimately it's really fun to get to interact with the fans. The type of work that we do is so solitary, where you're just in a little booth with your director and your sound engineer on the outside of the studio, and that's it. So to get out and actually talk to people who have seen the shows that we've worked on, that's really a lot of fun. So it's always good to get the feedback.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I'm curious, you know, obviously we know what you've what you've done in the past, but I am interested on what you currently have coming out, or if there's anything you can talk about that's more current or something we should look out for.
Yeah, I'm excited because recently some of the stuff that I had worked on finally got announced, because, you know, there's a thing where we kind of have to keep mum on shows until it's announced.
Yes, that wonderful NDA, we love those.
I actually have several things that I have done recently and that also that are upcoming. There was FMA Brotherhood. I'm only in it a tiny bit, but I did get to do that last year. And I had a pretty good sized role in a show called Line Barrels of Iron. And that was Funimation. And the first half of that is already out. I think the second half is going to be out pretty soon. And I just did some little bit parts on My Bride is a Mermaid. And it was Tetsuan Birdie something. I always want to say Tetsuan Birdie Adam, but I know that's not right because then I'm thinking of Astro Boy, so totally getting that wrong. But I worked on, it's crazy, I worked on like 8 episodes of Clannad, which I know is a really big show, but my whole 8 episodes that I worked on only took me about half an hour, so that has to give you an idea. I'm not in it a lot, but I think it'd be fun, like an Easter egg hunt. Find Tiffany Grant in Clannad, so there's your homework for the day. And the other two projects that I've worked on lately, Blue Drop, which was just a 13-episode show, and I do not know when that's coming out, but I guess...
I didn't know that got licensed.
Hmm?
I didn't know that got licensed, actually.
Yeah, well, the subtitle version of it actually is already out. But the dub, I guess, is coming out in the next few months. I don't know exactly when. And then my most recent project is Tears to Tierra, which I should wrap recording on tomorrow. And that is a 26-episode series that I'm doing for Sentai Filmworks. And that's going to be released, you know, in the two box sets, like 13 and 13 episodes. And on that, I actually did write the scripts for the first half of the series. It's a really interesting show because it's this combination of Irish and Welsh mythology and also a little bit of Arthurian legend thrown in there. And it's not exactly based on any of that stuff, but it's kind of fun how the Japanese will just sort of take some of those elements and squish them all together and...
See
what they can come up with. It's kind of an interesting influence, if you will. But that has been a very fun show to work on.
That must have been very interesting to write for, considering there's all the mythology in weird places.
Oh, I know. Yeah. So I sat and I did tons of research for that because I really did not know much about Irish or Welsh mythology at all. And to, you know, educate myself on that and also the Arthurian legend. And there's a little bit of Gallic mythology in there, too. So just making sure that I would know all of these things in case some important point came up. Honestly, not so much. It was just more like, we like these characters' names, so we think we will use the names of these characters from Arthurian legends and Welsh mythology, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, it's still interesting to be educated on that. Like when I was working on Oh My Goddess, I wrote the scripts for the second season of Oh My Goddess, so there I was doing all this research about Norse mythology. But for anybody familiar with Oh My Goddess and Norse mythology, you will know there's not really a whole lot of real Norse mythology in that.
Yeah, it's more just the name of the computer system or whatever heaven is.
Exactly. It's like instead of the tree of life, now it's the computer that runs heaven. So not exactly the same, but still good to know.
And well, it's still interesting because despite the fact, you know, you're working on a cartoon, you're learning things about history and mythology.
Yeah, it's true. It's a lot of fun to learn that stuff. And I'm always afraid if I don't research that, then I'll miss something important in the story, you know. So and actually, there was one point for some very, very minor character or a little kind of a creature thing, because I was reading the manga for Oh My Goddess when I was working on the scripts, and a thing came up in one of the episodes with this little creature, and the translator didn't know what it was, but I knew what it was because I was reading the manga. How cool am I? Oh, that's right. I'm cool.
That means you do very well at your job, and you're very passionate for it. So
that is right. I am very passionate about my work. I have a compulsion for things to be... to be done well.
And now I'm curious, for anybody who's trying to track what you're in, can they just go to your website, or do you have a Twitter or Facebook too?
Yeah, you know, I realize that it makes me seem like I'm about 97 years old, but I don't Facebook. But I have a website, and my website's been up for like 13 or 14 years now. And that usually has a pretty up-to-date list on there, as well as Anime News Network is mostly up to date. IMDb is kind of dodgy. I've been trying to get them to take off of there for like 2 years. This show called My Gym Partner is a Monkey. Have you ever heard of this?
I think it was on Cartoon Network for a while.
Thank you. I know. And I keep telling them, I am not in this cartoon. I did not work on this show. And somebody got the idea that I was in it, and Tommy Drake and John Grimion, and we're all voice actors in Houston, Texas, and none of us have ever worked on this Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network or whatever thing about my gym partner is a monkey, although I'm sure that that is a fabulous premise for a TV show. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not in it. Sorry.
I mean,
I've done lots of other things, so.
I can understand IMDb Pro. I mean, that's usually, you know, you awesomely have your resume on your site, but that's usually what I have to go off of when I interview people. So there are times where I'm like, oh, you were in it. Oh, no, I wasn't. Oops.
Yeah. Yeah, most of the stuff, I try to look it over from time to time, but I have to tell you, it's really difficult to get things removed from IMDb. It's not that hard to add things on there, but it's really, really difficult to have them taken off. And I probably shouldn't have said that, because now people are going to be typing into IMDb to change things on my profile. Please don't.
We will make sure that we warn the hordes of listeners not to try and get some secret art ritual.
Although, you know, if you want to, you know, post on there that I'm actually like 5'9" or something, that'd be fine. I won't object to that.
I thought you told me you were small.
I am. I'm a little tiny person, and that's usually one of the first comments when people meet me at conventions. Like, wow, you're really tiny.
Aww.
I know. I am. I guess I sounded taller. I don't know.
I think because your most famous character is very, very loud and commanding.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're bigger. They're larger than life. Oh, it was called Tetsuan Birdie Decode, by the way.
Oh, there
going you. Back 6 questions back now, but there you go.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine.
You know, my lists, I have these things all over my desk here in case I needed to ever refer to any of these while I was talking to you. I have cheat sheets.
Well, that's the best way to do it. I have cheat sheets, too. That's what that obnoxious clicking noise is me going through the tabs.
I see. Okay. Well, that's all right. That's all right. Feel free. One thing. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I wanted to make sure that at some point I did get in a plug for Voices 4, which you can find out more about at Voices 4, which is voicesfor.org, Voices 4. And it's a nonprofit group that I've worked with, and we've actually released 2 albums, Voices for Peace and Voices for Tolerance. And our album Voices for Peace has been out for a couple of years now, and we're actually nearly sold out. When we were setting this up and getting the rights for that, unfortunately that is only available on CD, which you can buy online. Just go to voicesfor.org and Voices for Peace. But our new album Voices for Tolerance is actually only available at the moment by download. And, all of the profits for Voices for Peace have been split evenly between 2 fantastic organizations, Doctors Without Borders and CARE. And so none of us have made a nickel off of that at all. And then our new album is Voices for Tolerance, and we are getting some CDs printed of that. And that's mainly the CDs is just because it's something for people to have signed. And if you just want to download it and listen to the music, that is totally groovy too. But on Voices for Tolerance, the proceeds for that album are going to be split evenly between the Southern Poverty Law Center and ActionAid International USA. And all the charities that we've picked are either national or international, and they all have a very, very high rating with Charity Navigator, where, you know, something like 85 or 90% of all of their proceeds, all of their income does go directly towards the people that they're trying to benefit. So anyway, just want to get that little plug in there for Voices 4. And we have done many concerts at various conventions around the country, Anime Central, SugoiCon, OniCon in Houston. So
this is actually very interesting. I didn't even know about this. So
yeah,
great to keep me.
Yeah, the Voices for Peace album, it's a lot of old war protest songs. there was 110 Soldier, War, Where Have All the Flowers Gone. The new album, some of the tracks are all the same. Do You Realize? One of Us. There's also a track on Voices for Tolerance that was written by Vic Mignogna as an original, trying to say original and Mignogna at the same time. Okay, doesn't come out that well. Vic wrote this for our album, an original song. It's called Could Be an Angel, and it's a really beautiful song. Anyway, so there you go. And that you can download that directly from iTunes, as a matter of fact.
That actually sounds really cool, and that's awesome that you guys are all involved with such a, you know, good and honorable thing. I didn't know that even existed.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm telling you about it, because I want everyone to know about it and hopefully, you know, buy the album or download the songs. And like I said, all of the profits from this go directly to those great charities, and we are very excited about it.
We will definitely make sure to remind our listeners about that. Is there anything else you'd like to let them know about?
Well, I guess I could go ahead and give out my website.
That's perfect.
And hey, if anybody ever forgets the website, you just type my name into Google and my website will just pop right out. I'm like the easiest person in the world to find. But it's a little funky, the name of the website, but it's Tiffany Grant altogether and then .eva-r.com. And the reason my website is connected with Ava R, it's a fan fiction, and to the best of my knowledge, it was the only fan site that was ever authorized by Gainax.
Oh, wow.
Gellian fan site. And it's a really awesome website, and this friend of mine, Maher, has been running that for many, many years, and back when I first did something with him in, I guess, 96 or 97, he asked something about putting something on my website, and I said, well, I don't have one, and he said, well, why don't I make one for you? So there's the little story about my website, and this very nice guy who was like a freshman in college at the time, and he's now like a neurosurgeon. He's a doctor now and everything. My little boy's all grown up. I'm all verklempt. Anyway, so TiffanyGrant.eva-r.com. So there you go. If you want to get in touch with me, there I am. And like I said, I do at least keep the convention part of my website updated, if not necessarily all of the rest of it. And I have a Yahoo group for anybody else that's interested. So that's my one big social networking thing, is I have a group on Yahoo, and that's been, gosh, I've been running for over 10 years now.
Well, good to know. See, you're not that behind.
I know. I just, the Facebook thing, it's too overwhelming for me, so.
That's why I go with Twitter. I'm a Twitter bug. I don't really like Facebook very much.
Okay. Well, I'm waiting for Facebook to kind of blow over. I think it's waning now, so I'll have just missed the whole thing. I missed Facebook, MySpace. Yeah, I missed MySpace. But MySpace is kind of already come and gone.
Yeah, so, I think everybody's given up on that one.
Yeah. The same thing's happening to Facebook. I know, hordes of people are crying, no, Tiffany, don't say that. It's true, I'm sorry. We'll see later. You'll listen to this a year from now and you go, oh, she's a prophet. Yeah, I am.
And they'll go to you at conventions and be like, predict the future, please.
I know. I don't know how far those powers extend, but I will tell you, Facebook's not going to be the it thing forever. There'll be a new it thing besides Twitter.
Right.
I can't tweet because I talk too much. I could never fit everything I have to say into 140 characters.
Well, no, we definitely enjoy all the things that you've said today. And before we let you go, I was wondering if you'd like to participate in a 91.8 The Fan tradition.
Oh, please. I love to do things that are traditional.
We basically ask everybody who comes on, whether they be a voice actor or not, if they'd want to do a bump for us.
Oh, okay, sure.
We were wondering if you could say, whether in your voice or a silly voice, whatever you feel like doing at the time,
okay.
if you'd be willing to say, my name is,
okay,
I do this, and you're tuned into 91.8 The Fan, just in case you're writing it down. I said it slowly.
Okay. 98.1 The Fan. Okay, no problem. All right. I'm sorry, am I doing it now?
Yes, whenever you're ready.
Oh, we okay.
It,
wow.
We on air. Yeah, we do it on air for the funny blue and all that fun stuff.
Okay. I think what I'll do is this. Hi, this is Oscar Langley Soryu. I pilot a giant robot that's better than everyone else's, and you're listening to 98.1 The Fan. What are you, stupid?
It's 91.8 The Fan.
Oh, God, I said it. What am I, stupid? 91.8 The Fan. Good Lord. Okay, 91.8 The Fan. Okay.
Whenever you're ready.
Two. Right. This is Oscar Langley Soryu, and I pilot the best Ava in the whole world, and you're listening to 91.8 The Fan. What are you, stupid?
Perfect. Second time's a charm.
Yay. This is why I love recorded medium, because you get to do it as many times as it takes to get it right, you see.
Yes, exactly. And those who listen to it live get to laugh a little.
Well, see, normally I've got a script in front of me, and I was just trying to do that off the top of my head.
Yeah, a lot of the people who come on, they have to write it down.
Yeah, I know. It's probably better.
But thank you so much for joining the show. We really appreciated it.
No problem. Thank you.
And for everybody out there, if you missed any of this interview, shame on you. But it will be up on the site in the next few days, so stay tuned to 91.8 The Fan. Everything you want, nothing you don't. Here's Scandal and their song.